saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The picture on the screen before you, on the one side, seems to be rather ordinary. Three guys on ordinary camels. The other side of the picture, though, is not so ordinary. For it is the picture of the amazing star that guided these men some 1,000 miles over perhaps 6 to 8 weeks in order to find the baby Jesus. Now, someone already may have their guards up just a little bit. "I'm not so sure about this magical star thing. How does a star lead men 1,000 miles and come and park over a particular house in a little village of Bethlehem?" Well, I don't know how God's miraculous star worked, but that does not particularly trouble me. For the God who spoke the worlds into existence is certainly able to reach over and flip on a switch and turn on a light and turn it off and then turn it on again and turn it off again according to his will. And if he intended to do that, to bring these men so that they would behold the glory of his son born of a virgin, then God is certainly capable. But if someone has trouble with the supernatural star, then you probably have some troubles with some of the other supernatural elements that are in this account in Matthew 2. There's the guiding star. There's the miraculous reappearance of the guiding star. There are these men who are talking of the prophecy of the King of the Jews who is a messianic descendant of David, promised some 1,000 years before. Then you've got Jesus born in the village of Bethlehem, as Micah prophesied 700 years earlier. And this baby in Bethlehem is said to have been active from eternity. And then further, this baby just happens to be one who will rule over Israel. And if we go beyond our text here, the paragraph that we've read, if we look back to the last paragraph of Matthew 1, you've got an angel talking to Joseph. If you look into the next paragraph following what we read, you've got an angel talking to Joseph again. And I haven't even really mentioned anything about the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ from the Virgin, nor the one angel's announcement to the shepherds, nor that group of angels that are singing glory to God in the highest. The reality is, if you must pull all of the supernatural, all of the miraculous from the Bible, then what you have left is not the Bible. What you have is a holy Bible, a Bible that's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese. But on the other hand, if you embrace the supernatural as given, then you have a holy Bible that has been set apart for God's special use, one that is sacred, because God is miraculously speaking to us through it. Now, I hope that for the next 10 minutes, that you will be able to permit the supernatural God to exist and let him speak to you through his word. What we find here in our account is that there are very few details given concerning the wise men, but enough details to answer these three questions. Who were they? Well, they were wise men. And we're told that this category of wise men is a name that is given by the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians to teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams, soothsayers, and sorcerers. You may remember that the biblical character Daniel lived the bulk of his life over there in the east, and Daniel was a wise man in Babylon several hundred years before our account. From where did they come? From the east, from the rising of the sun, from Persia or Babylon, from an area of present-day Iraq. And when did they come? Well, during the reign of Herod the Great, Herod the king, the only Herod who was a king. At the birth of Jesus, Herod was in his upper 60s and had just a few more years to live. And from these details, let's move to consider the specific question of these wise men. Now, what is that specific question? They don't ask in Jerusalem if anyone there knows anything about a special king of the Jews. They don't even come and ask, hey, was there a king recently born here someplace in Judea? They're convinced that a king already has been born, and so their specific question is, where is he? Where is he that was born king of the Jews? Now, it very well could be that Daniel, living over in Babylon some 550 years before, that something of his influence carried down this Daniel, who was called the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was called the chief of the magicians, astrologers, and Chaldeans. I don't know that for sure. I can't prove that. But somehow, the Jewish expectation of a great Messiah was shared with the people of the East, and somehow these wise men of the East embraced that promise and were expecting a blessing through him. These men traveled 1,000 miles, likely on camelback, convinced that the great king of the Jews has been born. What is their specific question? Now, what leads to it? Well, they say right in the text, for we have seen his star and have come to worship him. They've seen a supernatural star. And as astrologers / astronomers, they would have believed that events that are occurring there in the heavens have some sort of connection to events that are occurring here on earth. Now, how did they come to this? I don't know. But there is plainly some miraculous connection, and it should not surprise us that God the Father was determined that some glory should come to God the Son as he's born of a virgin. But now consider with me the prophetic answer to the question of the wise men. It's very interesting to me that it appears that the star seems to just stop, to be hidden behind a cloud. It disappears for some reason. God gets the wise men from the east to Jerusalem, but once in Jerusalem, they have to go to Herod and eventually to the chief priests to find out where Jesus is going to be born. So God evidently wants Herod and the religious leaders to know that some heathen from the east have seen a miraculous star and are wanting to know where the King of the Jews is. And God wants us. God wants you and me to see the faith of these foreign wise men against the backdrop of the murder of Herod and the just, I don't care attitude of the Jewish leaders. Notice that Herod knows where to find the answer. He knows to go to the Jews who know the book. He knows something of prophecy. Now, Herod will not worship the King of the Jews. He intends to get rid of Jesus. But Herod knows where to get answers about God's Son coming into the world. He just doesn't want those answers for the right reason. You and I need to want to know things about Jesus Christ, but we need to want to know for the right reason. We need to want to know because we have come to love Jesus Christ. But further, notice with me, the Jewish scholars know the biblical answer. It says in the text, he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, and he asked them where the supposed King of the Jews is going to be born. And the Jewish leaders know about Micah's prophecy. They know about Micah 5 and verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. These religious leaders know the Old Testament prophecy, and yet they will not believe in nor worship the Son of God. Now, our final point this evening is to ask the question, why? Why does God send a supernatural star to these wise men? Why does God want them to travel that 1,000 miles over a period of weeks and weeks in order to come and to see Jesus? Well, the first reason why is because of God's glory for Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world to draw back men and women, boys and girls to himself is just amazing that he would do that. But the first coming of Jesus Christ is known as his coming of humiliation. It's a time of humbling. It's a time of hiding the great glory of Christ. And almost all of humanity totally missed the glory of Jesus Christ in his first coming. But there are a few. There are some angels that are sent to sing glory to God in the highest. There are these wise men who see a miraculous star so that they will go well out of their way and give a record of their honor and glory being brought to Jesus Christ, the Son. And plainly, the song in these wise men's hearts is glory to God in the highest. Why the wise men? Well, because of God's intended protection of his Son, Jesus Christ. This sin-cursed world is a dangerous place for the Holy Son of God. Herod wants to kill him. He doesn't even know him, but he wants to kill him. And here, God works through the wise men to warn them, don't go back to Herod, go back to your home another way. And this is just one step of many, many steps where God protects Jesus and keeps Jesus alive until the precise hour of Jesus' sacrifice for sinners. But then, why else does God have these wise men come? For God's provision, for Jesus Christ, his Son. In just a few verses later, we will find that this angel that appears to Joseph directs him to take Mary and Jesus and go down to Egypt until Herod has died. Now, how is this poor couple going to make this long journey, and how are they going to live in Egypt? Well, maybe the gold and frankincense and myrrh will cover something of those expenses. The wise men gave their royal gifts as an expression of worship, and likely they had no idea how God would use their gifts in a very practical way. But God knows. God knows the end from the very beginning. And the way that God cares for his Son, Jesus Christ, is the way that God cares for all of his believing children. Why did these wise men come? Well, because of God's broad mission for Jesus Christ, his Son. The sacrificial worship of these foreign wise men stands out to us. Would you ride on a camel 1,000 miles over 6 to 8 weeks? And what the wise men did in traveling on camelback particularly stands out against the actions of King Herod and the Jewish leaders. King Herod was more interested in saving his throne than his soul. Herod will travel to Bethlehem to find and murder Jesus. Herod is blind to the worship that is due to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I trust that you agree with me that it's wrong of Herod to want to get rid of Jesus in order to selfishly protect his own throne. You see that, right? But have you considered that you also may be more concerned about your throne than your soul? Now, I don't mean that you have a literal throne, that you can bark commands to others like Herod could have. But there very really is a throne to all of our lives. And sadly, some are unwilling to come to the Lord Jesus Christ because they know if they come to him that he will assume his rightful place on the throne of their lives. Who's on your throne? Jesus Christ or you? Are you willing to receive direction from the Lord Jesus Christ? It's very simple. If Jesus Christ is not on the throne of your life, then you need to ask yourself the question why it is that the God who made you doesn't have a right to rule and direct in your life. Well, so much for Herod wanting to save his throne over saving his soul. Consider with me the religious leaders who had a knowledge about God but were unwilling to act on it. They can answer the question where the king of the Jews is going to be born. Sure, King Herod, we know that. Sure, King Herod, we know Micah chapter 5. Sure, King Herod, we know that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. They can answer the question for Herod and ultimately answer the question for the wise men, these wise men who very likely don't even have a copy of the Old Testament scriptures. These Jewish leaders can answer questions to help others come to Jesus Christ, but they won't come themselves. We don't read about any of them traveling to Bethlehem to check out the baby. They won't act on the knowledge of the Bible that they have. And don't you feel that that's rather tragic? To have this awareness and yet not to live it out? But I wonder if someone here has more knowledge about God than what they're willing to live out. Could you explain the importance of faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone? Could you explain to someone else how the sinless Son of God died on the cross as a sacrifice to pay for the sins of others? You see, these foreign wise men showing up before Herod and the religious leaders are something of a bright star themselves. We can no longer see that supernatural star, but we can see the bright shining star of these wise men believing in the midst of darkness. These wise men remind us how those of every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue are going to be brought together in Christ's heaven. They remind us of that ancient truth of the one special human descendant of Abraham through whom all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And just as an aside, Jesus Christ is the only answer to all of the race problems in the world. All will be brought together from every tribe, nation, kindred, and tongue who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These wise men also speak to us by being a wonderful example of letting no obstacle keep them from the Lord Jesus Christ. They call to us that we would come to Christ no matter the cost. God gave them a miraculous star, and God gave them new hearts. So, do you see that in a sense, neither side of the picture is ordinary? On the one side, the supernatural working of God in that miraculous star, and on the other side, these maybe ordinary guys on ordinary camels, but it speaks of a supernatural work of God in their hearts to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God grant that in this Christmas season associated with the supernatural coming of Jesus Christ, forever be linked to your supernatural coming to the Lord Jesus Christ.